rugby friends, and welcome to a new edition of the French Rugby Connection with moi from a very grey and bit miserable Surrey, and
with moi, Tom Dixon, in Toulouse, where it's also fairly grey, but it's still quite warm though.
So that you had a very good trip yesterday in a small town not far from Cahors and Catus, where I had the opportunity to spend a month's holiday in a summer camp when I was 9 years old, so I know the area quite well. I think I went to Montgesti as well. I probably went to the church one Sunday morning, you know, with the summer camp. So let's talk about Montgesti. What happened in Montgesti and why is it a very important rugby town? Village, may I say?
Yeah, it's a very small village. And I went to the town hall, which is part of the church in the village. And the mayor of the village invited us there. And the mayor, I did go to this lovely village, very pretty, proper France profonde, and went to the church because the mairie was in the church. And we were meeting in the mairie because the mayor himself is Jean-Noël Galtier, the father of the legendary Fabien, selectioner of the Bleu. And so we were there for a press conference where the management team were presenting their review and where they were. They called it the end of the preparation of the preparation period.
Indeed, indeed. And you know what occurred? So basically, just for our friend, it was the official launch of the Rugby World Cup from the French side, and in which I believe you had, obviously, Fabien Gatier was there. You introduced yourself to him. Raphaël Ibanez, who is the general manager. Laurent Labitte, who is at the attacking coach. William Serva is the charge of the ruck, and Bruno Guzinello. So basically, nearly the full staff. I wish I could have been there. Unfortunately, I couldn't due to a personal reason. But what a great launch in such relaxing and convivial atmosphere.
Well, they were very impressive. It was a fascinating day. I had great conversations with all of them. Funny enough, one of the profoundest conversations with Nicolas Bouffat, the least well-known of them, who does the data analysis.
Yes.
And as a data scientist myself, or a data man, that was fascinating and we had lots to talk about. But overall, just how professional they were was very striking. How comfortable in themselves they were with their plan was striking. They'd just spent 4 days together. It's a project management exercise coming up to 3 months before the competition itself.
Mm-hmm, all right.
They were convincing us that all the threads were coming together. There's still a bit of top 14 in European rugby happening, so they're can be injuries, there can be people coming back from injuries, yes, or showing well. But they were explaining to us their plans for the 7 weeks they're spending with the players,
yes,
the rest periods, the camps. It, as I said, all very impressive, all very persuasive. They're a very strong force. It was the serenity of the area and going back to basics was one of his opening points. It's interesting.
Definitely. And you know what? The reason why Fabien Gatier decided, you know, to host this official press launch in Mother's Village, where Fabien was born, I believe, at Montgesti, is because in November 2019, after the World Cup, this is where Fabien and his acolyte congregated. So it was, you know, like a little un clin d'œil. I don't know how to say that in English, but it was like
it's a reference to the start of the project.
Exactly, exactly. So later, so apparently they are going to start preparing for the competition in Monaco from the 3rd to the 14th of July. I believe they are going to select quite a large number of players because obviously, you know, the players will need to train. Then they will have a week off. Then they will go back to Paris, Marcoussis, from the 24th of July to the 3rd of August. And then they will go to Les Landes in Cap Breton from the 7th to the 25th of August, in which their family will be convened. It won't take place in a hotel. They will have their their cabin log. It's going to be
their log cabins. I still think that the forwards will be put in tents, and only the pretty boys who need their hairdos and hairdryers will be in the cabins.
I'm not so sure about that. Apparently, they wanted to select, you know, the Cap Breton seniors because they wanted to find a serene and a natural side, different from Marcoussis, in which, you know, the players will be in tune with nature, with their family as well. They will have a bungalow. So it's a good way for them to take stock and get ready for the 8th of September.
It's quite extraordinary when you think commercially that basically they're going to be taking over an entire campsite with these, I'm joking, they're very posh bungalows, cabins that are fully equipped with their families, when a campsite only has about 6 weeks in the summer to make all its money.
I don't know the details of the location is, but I'm sure they would have sorted something out months ago. So I believe you nearly asked a question, but somebody asked on your behalf. It was regarding one of the Stade Toulousain players. Tell me more about it.
Yes, the microphone was on its way to me and the guy next to me asked the question that I prepared. Yes, which is, how are we getting on with Emmanuel Meyerfou and his application to join the French team? If you remember, this is a guy born in New Zealand of Samoan parentage who grew up and played his rugby around Melbourne in Australia. But he came over and joined Stade Toulousain. His first game was the 21st of December 2019, so just under 4 years ago. Since then, he has applied for and received French nationality. Mm-hmm. But there is a world rugby rule that says you can't play for your country unless you've been playing for them for 4 full years, I believe it is. I'm quite conflicted on this, to be honest, because I think if you've got nationality, you should be able to play for your new country. That's one of the reasons you do it. But there is this rule about 4 years. And the Bleu, the administrators, have applied to World Rugby for Emmanuel Meyerfou to be allowed to play for France during the World Cup. Mm-hmm. There is a precedent that was made when they allowed, I can't remember who, to play for New Zealand in very similar circumstances.
Was he an Irish player? Was he?
I can't remember. I can't remember who the precedent was, but the fact remains. So on the one hand, it's logical that he should play because he's now French. I want him to play because he's an impact player that would have a really good World Cup, and he does fantastically for Toulouse. It's quite exciting.
Okay, so latest is that Les Bleus, Fabien Gatti and his staff will have a reply by mid-June. So not too long, a month to wait. So finger crossed that it will be part of Les Bleus squad, because he's such a phenomenal player, is a giant, and is a colossus, basically. He could play as a Marvel hero. How tall is he? Is he like 2.5 meters and 130 kilo or something like that?
He is that scale of rugby player, the Will Skelton scale.
Yeah.
There is another point that came up, is that for the first time, they are doing 4 friendlies.
Now, yes, they're going to play against Australia on the 27th of August, I believe.
Yep, but they've got Scotland home and away. Mm-hmm. And in Nantes, which is on the edge of Brittany, where dear listener Veronique comes from, if she hasn't told you.
Of course. Times,
they're playing at Nantes, and the tickets have just gone up for sale.
So one thing I wanted to say, who said that rugby players were not poets? But you may have remembered, or maybe not, William Serva said that it would be the... I hope it's the right pronunciation. No, Emmanuel Meyerfou will be like the icing on a cake. You know, it would be like un bouquet de fleurs.
It'd be fantastic.
Yes. So, and another thing as well, I believe that Fabien Gatier mentioned about meeting with Chelonge.
Yes, he was talking in the context, one example of many, of some people becoming injured and other people like Gelange coming back from injury. And he threw that in just as an example. He said, I had Gelange with me last week and asked him about his weight. And he said, I'm still exactly 106, same as ever. So you may be coming back from injury, but you can still keep yourself properly trained and ready to go when you're allowed to. But he also made the point, it's not just coming back from injury, it's getting up to the level of form that's expected of you as well.
Of course. So, yeah, you're right. He still weighs 106 kilos. He appears to be back on form. And even his surgeon are very surprised by his recovery, prompt recovery, because you may remember he did his ACL. And it's looking good, you know, for the time being. But we'll see how it pans out. But, yeah, it would be absolutely wonderful if he could get back into the squad.
It really brought home how imminent this World Cup is on home soil.
So altogether, very fruitful French rugby connections morning. Okay, oh, there's going to be a massive game on Saturday. Leinster against La Rochelle.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Who's going to win?
Well, you know, La Rochelle won last year in Marseille against all expectations, in brackets. The final score was 24-21, and people say that Rochelle robbed Leinster in the last few minutes by the effort of Arthur Rottier. But it was absolutely amazing time, because the year before, you know, they lost against Toulouse, and I remember in Aldrit and all the players were in tears,
devastated, you
know, absolutely devastated. So yeah, so we'll see. I need to ask you a question. Who played three consecutive finals as a team?
Was it Saracens?
No.
Was it Toulon?
Toulon, yes. You know which year?
Toulon was about 5-6 years ago, wasn't it?
A bit longer.
15, 16, 17.
Not bad. 2013 with Johnny Wilkinson. 2014 when Johnny Wilkinson retired. When Saracen lost. No. So, yeah, very close, Tom. So 2013, 2014 and 2015. And which other team? Come on, you should know that. You are black and red.
Is it Stade Toulousain?
Yeah, and the year was?
3 years on the trot. It was probably 2006, 7 and 8.
No, it was the 2003, 2004 and 2005. A nice try. So it's good. Yeah, you can say something now if you want to. So Stade Rochelet have reached the Heineken Champions Cup 3 times in a row.
What an achievement for Ronan O'Gara.
Well, you know, especially that La Rochelle was in a Pro D2 10 years ago. So extremely proud of Ronan O'Gara. And lately, you know, he's been talking with the press and he's been hyping up his players, saying, hey, you got nothing to worry about, Leinster. I know our Irish team play. You know, I can help you out there. So it's going to be a tough game, but everything is for grab. And what would you say the strength of La Rochelle is?
Oh, the heft, the weight, the muscle is unbeatable. They've got these bull-like creatures standing up at the scrum. You can't get past them. But at the same time, they've got the swiftness of thought. It's the Ronan O'Gara influence of getting the ball behind the defence and being there at the right time. So it must be said, I'm not sure they were favourites last year to win it, but it was quite a wily game they played to take the victory. So hats off to them. It's going to be close. There's not a thing between them, is there?
So you're absolutely right. You know, their forward packs is phenomenal. So I think I predict that Vordi will be there, Bourgari, Antonio, and of course, Skelton, Dylan, Botia, Lavo, and of course, Aldrit. And in terms of the rest, I foresee Roule, Favre, Setoni, who was absolutely extraordinary, Leyel, and Brice Dulin.
Yeah. On a good day, they're unbeatable. Even the mighty Leinster on a good day would be beaten. So can't wait. And that's at 4:45 UK time, 17:45 French time on Saturday.
Yes. One thing I wanted to ask you is, okay, which team member of La Rochelle has made the most carries this season?
I have to say Greg Aldrich is first at the breakdown, is strong, he jumps through defences, but it could be any of them. So you'll have to tell me.
Spot on, it's Greg Aldrich. He made the most carries this season with 112 from his 7 matches to date.
What stats? How fantastic.
Definitely, definitely. So I'm hoping, you know, for a yellow and black victory in Dublin that will provoke such a shock. But I think the Irish haven't really digested yet. They lost last year against La Rochelle and they've been building up, you know, to lift the trophy. And you can look at that, you know, from the from their performance last week. Last week they were playing in the semi-final in the URC and they fielded their B team, similar to La Rochelle as well, who played in the top 14. They won't have that 5-star to be equal as Stade Toulousain.
Stade Toulousain, we don't want them to get their 5th star either. But you have to say, I think the bookies don't agree with us. I think the bookies are probably seeing Leinster as the favourite. Playing at home, being number one national team in the world, they've had a perfect European run-up. They've won every match. So it's a big ask.
It's a big ask, but in French, you say impossible n'est pas français, impossible is not French. And we have, you know, La Rochelle won against Leinster last year, so it's been done before. And like Ronan O'Gara said, Rog, you know, he is definitely sharing the belief to his players that it can be done again. So yeah, we will see, on verra, que sera, sera.
Fantastico.
Top 14, my friend.
Well, given that Toulouse didn't bother because they're already qualified, La Rochelle didn't bother because they got a big game on this weekend, and Toulon didn't bother, actually for two reasons, because they got a final on the next weekend. 3 out of the 7 games were foregone conclusions, and those teams did indeed send the B team, and they did indeed all lose. But that said, there were some absolute crackers as well, and there's such excitement. There's one playoff place to be decided, and there's the second relegation place to be decided.
I have to say that my heart bled a little bit last weekend. Brive, unfortunately, they lost. Perpignan won, though that means they have been relegated officially to the Pro D2. But I'm sure with the level of professionalism from the players, you know, you spotted a few players, you know, in our last edition, and also the fact they have Moriarty as well, and probably Nico Sanchez, their stay at the Pro D2 will be temporary. So, and well done to Perpignan. We're still there for fight, as well as Pau. And Pau, my goodness, they really suffered in the games last weekend because they scored 0 points.
Bordeaux Bègles 28, Pau 0.
Yes.
So yeah, 0 points. That's a very appropriate scoreline given the Eurovision.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So last weekend was the 25th round. Only one more left, obviously, because of the Heineken Champion Cup. There are no top 14 games playing. So refresh our memory, Tom. What's the current thing and what might happen as well?
Well, Toulouse has doubled its lead over La Rochelle from 1 point to 2 points. Those are both through to the semi-final, so there's nothing really to play for. Stade Français Racing 92 and Bordeaux Begle are through to the playoffs with 66, 66 and 63 points respectively. But then it gets interesting because there's one playoff place left and anything can happen. At the moment it stands Lyon 62, Bayonne 58 and Toulon 57. And the big match is Lyon against Bayonne. So one of those at least will fail to make it. But Toulon could make it. If Bayonne beat Lyon, there are no bonus points in that game, mm-hmm. and Toulon win with a 5-point victory, then Toulon will go through. There's 15-point goal difference needed, so
right.
It's unlikely, but anything can happen this time of year. So the place for that last playoff place is most likely to be Lyon, could be Bayonne, which would be a wonderful story, and what a match that's going to be, and could possibly be Toulon. Mm-hmm. But then you ask, well, what about the other end? As you said, Brive have been relegated, but the fight is between Pau and Perpignan to avoid being in that 13th place. And with them, we have Perpignan are playing at Castres, and they really need to win to stay out of the position. Pau with a defensive point or a draw against Montpellier at home would be clear at the drop. So there's going to be a lot of fighting there, and I wish them well. I also point out that the Brive got beaten twice by Toulouse this year, but Toulouse lost to Pau at the beginning of the season.
Oh, I remember that.
And Perpignan last week. So by gifting each of them an unlikely win, it's lifted them off the bottom. It's all within that number of points.
So it's a very good synthesis. It's a good summary.
One final point is that Toulon sent their B team and were beaten against Racing 92.
I read in the press that obviously there were a few unhappy Toulon supporters. What happened? Tell me more.
Well, Toulon lost 43-7 against Racing 92. That is a team that they ought to be competing with. But they sent a B team because obviously they have the Challenge Cup final against Glasgow Warriors in
yes.
Dublin.
Correct.
But additionally, they sent a B team devoid of all their international superstars because, very peculiar to France, they needed to up their average of GIF players, mm-hmm. which is players trained in France. And had they not done that, they could have started next season with negative points through not fielding enough French players in games. So that meant they lost the game last weekend. It was also looking after the points they could have lost for next season.
Yeah, so for our listeners, you know, remind us, you know, what the GIF rule is. In a nutshell, you know.
It says you must play homegrown players a certain amount of the time.
Yes.
You can't just have foreign superstars and throw money at it and win, you know, buy victory.
Correct.
And,
okay.
And it's a lovely way of doing it, and it's been successful, and France is where they are thanks to this.
Definitely. It has definitely helped, you know, local French talent. In, you know, there was a time, for instance, in Toulon, you know, it was 80% of foreign players, you know, especially players that were close to their retirement age. So exciting top 14, and comparing to the championship in England, you know, top 14 is going from strength to strength.
My heart goes out to London Irish. I hope they find a way of making that finish better than Wasps and Worcester. It's not looking good though. So
yes,
top 14 is healthy in comparison.
So Tom, you just alluded earlier that the top 14 is in a healthy business status. And the same goes for the Pro D2. So what's been happening in the Pro D2, that exciting second-tier competition, which are professional, by the way?
It is. It's very exciting. And this weekend, we're coming to the end of the season, and we have the semi-finals. And your team, Van, based in the north of France, in the heart of Brittany, is appearing in semi-final number one, away to Oyonnax, which has finished the standard part of the season streets ahead of anyone else. Very strong indeed. So it's a big ask. But as they say, it's just 80 minutes. It's 23 men against 23. Anything could happen. So on your behalf, I would back Van. I'd love them to have a chance.
I would love to see Van because they were so, so close in 2021 of, you know, reaching for the very first time the top 14. There's loads of investment, you know, in the Breton rugby scene. So that would bring an even bigger smile to my face.
Well, that alone would make it worthwhile. And the other semi-final is Grenoble against Stade Montois. And that could be a little bit closer fought. Grenoble is no stranger, top 14. Stade Montois, less so. So I'd say Grenoble are the favourites, but it will be a closely fought one. I look forward to that.
Definitely. So, rugby friends, here we are, nearly the end, Tom. So, what an exciting, not only top 14, but the Heineken Champions Cup, which will be shown on BT Sport at 4:45 in the UK, RTE in Ireland, and in France 2 in France.
It normally is, yes. It's also on a pay TV. It is on both the pay TV channel, beIN Sport, and it is usually on France 2 as well.
All right. And I said, you know, I really, really rooting for Le Stade Rochelet. Come on, make me a proud French woman. And also this week, I have to raise my Béret to Ronan O'Gara. I know he's been living, in France for the last 10 years. You know, his French is spectacular and he speaks French completely friendly. Obviously, he has an Irish accent, but it's charm, a bit like my French accent to my English.
Indeed. No, it's very impressive how some of these people come over and can speak French brilliantly. Dan Bigger has been impressing people with his immediate landing in Toulon speaking French. So good for him.
Let's not forget that Tom speaks French fluently, except he made a faux pas when he met with Fabien Galtier by calling him Fabien Gaultier. Never mind. Apologies, Fabien. You know, he's a Brit. C'est un Anglais.
yes. C'est la vie. I can cope with this. That's the least embarrassing thing of my embarrassing things. So, no, I mean, it is coming to the end of the season. It's very exciting. There's lots of fights to be had. We're being spoilt. And it's so obvious that the World Cup is around the corner with four, they may be friendlies, but four internationals in August. That's one a week. So I will hardly have any time off.
Oh, it's going to be wonderful. Au revoir.
Au revoir. La pendule fait tic-tac, tic-tic. Les oiseaux du lac pic-pac, pic-pic. Glou-glou-glou font tous les dindons. Et la jolie cloche ding-ding-don. Mais boum, quand notre cœur fait boum. Tout avec lui dit boum. Et c'est l'amour qui s'éveille.